Hey everyone, my name is Dave Nixon and welcome to the Alpha Theta Flow podcast. This is Flow 634 and today I'm going to talk a little bit about learning styles and teaching styles, I guess. Funnily enough, people don't have actually have a learning style. They have a learning preference. People may fall into the trap of saying I'm a kinesthetic learner, or I'm a visual learner, or I'm a, auditory learner, whichever it may be. Now, I guess the other thing to pay attention to, there's visual, auditory, kinesthetic, there's auditory, digital. Other ways that we can, what's called representationally loading our learning is also gustatory and olfactory. They're the main representation models, how we represent the world to ourselves. So something external, they're the senses that we use and to understand it. And auditory, digital is we're looking at self-talk. And so the person that usually takes the information in and maybe, breaking it down in their own mind is there's a bit of auditory digital occurring. And so that's one of the way they may be processing that information. So the reason why I say we don't have learning styles is that we have learning preferences. If somebody identified as a visual learner and they became blind, they wouldn't cease to continue learning. They would simply lose that preference, which means that their other representation models or sensors would then start to develop and take over from that original representational preference, because they prefer to learn by watching or so forth. One thing that's really powerful, this is a little side quest, is when we are able to, as coaches, get people to go in and feel the movement they're developing, and then also film the movement. Whether that be at the start or whether that be, after a couple of years of training, doesn't really matter too much, because each level of training is going to offer you different things. So the reason why one may encourage a person to film is so that they could go, when it feels like this, it looks like this. And this is what I refer to as representationally loading their learning. And so this is allowing them to go and put not just a kinesthetic sense, which is getting them to gauge a feeling sense to the movement, so they know what they're doing and they're doing it deliberately, right? They're consciously, deliberately moving in a particular manner. But then they're actually able to also visualize that. So that if they felt a little bit further forward, or they felt the third one was out, or whatever the case might be, they're actually able to have that visual feedback by watching it back on film, which is more powerful than looking in a mirror. And the reason why I say that is because a mirror is going to be one-dimensional, from the sense that it's usually fixed, unless you have like a moving mirror that you want to move around. But then you can only actually watch it in real time. And so that also means that if the mirror is off to your side, you're usually turning your head to see it. And so that's a couple of issues, I suppose, with but watching through a mirror and watching technique or form. And so that way it's not like, okay, is my back straight or is that occurring? It's actually going, while I was doing that rep, I could feel this, and that's what it looks like. And more often than not, people actually correct their technique, people actually correct their movement pattern without the coach having to say anything. So whenever I get someone to film, I get them to watch it back, and then I often hear their feedback rather than tarnishing their learning and their intake of that information with my feedback. Now, I would give my feedback as well, but my feedback will also then hinge on what their feedback is. So it'll tell me a couple of things. For example, if they go, oh, look, let's say insert something, which would be deemed as negative, such as, I can't believe I'm pulling those faces, or I'm still lifting too high with my bum first, or something along those lines. You may find that they're actually looking at the, quote unquote, negative aspects of the lifting. They're looking at what they're still not doing well. And so this can also give you information. It can point towards potential markers of how they actually criticize themselves in general, without jumping to conclusions and going, this equals this. And so by getting their information and their feedback, it then gives you space to be able to go, okay, well, based on that, here's my feedback. And so they might say that, and I go, which I referred to before, such as bums lifting early still, or whatever the case might be, deem it to be a general negative comment. Then I'll be like, cool, so what did you feel you did well with that? And it's like, okay, what else could you notice? All right, was there any consistency with that? What could you feel with that? These are questions to be able to get that person to go in and do it objectively rather than layering judgment over their lifts as well. So either way, this is a form we can look at as representationally loading their learning. Now, one of the key reasons why I want to talk through this today briefly is because more often than not, coaches who may not be coaches, they may just be trainers, because there's a difference between those two jobs and fields, really. Training is training a skill. Coaching is facilitating change through conversation whilst maintaining that the coachee is the expert in their subject, which is them. There's two clear, distinct differences between trainer and a coach. So more often than not, the people that call themselves coaches on the floor that are actually trainers, nothing wrong, nothing bad. I would say that on the gym floor, I'm a trainer slash coach, whereas in my one-on-one online work that I do, I'm a coach slash trainer. They will often, on the floor, teach the way they learn. And so one of the core capabilities of a coach is adaptability, behavioral adaptability, communicational adaptability. And it's not the client's job to adapt their learning preferences to your teaching preference. It's your job as the coach to adapt your coaching preferences or coaching style, coaching deliberate delivery to the client's learning preferences. And we first have to learn how to pick those personality structures up. We have to be able to read body language, but also not just read and then project that X equals Y. We have to be able to go, so I noticed this, can you tell me more about that? And learn how to really calibrate with that individual so we can meet that person where they're at and then lead them from there. So one of the core things, and people also do this with sales, but one of the core things is that it's the coach's job to adapt their delivery to the client's learning preference. But we have to be able to learn how to identify that and communicate to that. Now, the client or athlete also has the ability. They're not a rigid, they're not a tree. They're able to actually adapt their ability of learning as well. And that's where I used the example before of rather than just going, they're a visual learner or they're a kinesthetic learner or something, we have the ability to learn through all different types of preferences. And so the key thing there is making sure that we're coaching toward different types of preferences, especially within a group setting. So my offer for you, if you're a coach, is to pay attention to the people that you're communicating with on the gym floor and just start to pay attention to how they're actually communicating their own feedback, whether they're using words such as see or view or picture. Usually that's pointing towards a visual type of learning. If they're using words like feel, I get a sense in my body, like terminology like this, they're usually talking about kinesthetic. If they go, I think I'm doing this. I don't think I'm doing it right. Like, these are things for auditory digital. If they're using words like it doesn't sound right. I know how it's meant to look, but it doesn't feel like it. So you can start to pick up on all these terminology and use those words back on them. So it's just like, okay, so what do you have to feel in order to know you're doing it well? And these are questions that you can use as a coach to be able to really get in and lead the client from there. Now, you as a client, start paying attention to how you're communicating, what feedback you're receiving from your body, because that'll give you an indication of actually how you learn and what your learning preferences are as well. But that is it for me for today. I'm out. Thank you very much for tuning in. If you found this podcast beneficial, it would mean the world to me if you would pass it on to someone else that you think would also find it beneficial. And if you haven't already, you can grab a copy of my book, Mining Yourself, anywhere online that sells books, or at alphathetaflow.com if you'd like one personally signed by me. If you're an athlete, a coach, or a high performer and you're wanting to find out how to find your flow, then check out alphathetaflow.com and get in touch, because I'd love to have a chat with you. That's it from me, guys. Big love, peace and pizza. I'll see you all soon.